Welcome to the Engineering Emotions and Energy Podcast, where you can relax, recharge, and reconnect. And now, your host, Justin Wink.
Today, I'm talking about exercising choice. And this is the reproductive edition, because I might talk about this topic again in the future, and I've probably talked about it on this podcast before. We're going to look through it at the lens of some reproductive choices that could be made. And you might be thinking, oh, this has to do with the Roe v. Wade thing, that if you're listening to this around real time when this was recorded in mid-May, you might be thinking, oh, this has to do with that. It kind of does, but really it doesn't, because it's really about my reproductive choice. And I recently chose to get a vasectomy. And is that actually a choice, or is it actually a decision to get a vasectomy or not to get a vasectomy? It's actually a decision, because it's one or the other. There's a limited subset. We often confuse choice and decision. I made a decision to get a vasectomy, strangely, right before Mother's Day. So effectively, I decided to reduce the chance of there being a new mother in the world right before Mother's Day. And I'm also going to tie this in with talking to my mother about this decision and the procedure, getting it done on Mother's Day. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about my experience, so that if you or someone you care about has been contemplating getting this done, you'll have a little bit more information, because often our decisions are not based on information. They're often based in an absence of information and an overabundance of belief that we usually did not consciously choose to take on in the first place. Lately, abortion's been in the news as well, with possibility of Roe v. Wade being overturned. It actually, as far as I know, hasn't actually been decided yet. It was just a draft opinion, so we still don't 100% know, although it's highly likely that it will turn out, allowing the current protections of abortion, which have been chipped away at over the years by various states, to go completely to the states, and they could say, nope, abortions for anyone under any circumstances at any time. And other states can say, yep, no big deal, go ahead, do it. Depending on what state you're in, this is a limitation of choice. And what I want to go over today is that even though there might be the limitation by the law, oftentimes the limitation, even if sometimes it's reinforced by law, the limitation in our amount of choice ultimately comes from our own selves. Like, we often think, okay, you have a family, you have to take care of them. This could be whether this is you're the parent, this could be your spouse, you could be a child, whatever it is, we often think family, 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 I have to. Not true. You can totally have nothing to do with your family. You have that choice. There's always other options. There's an infinite amount of options. So before I decided to get the vasectomy, I was playing in a space of other options of how to avoid having kids. Because my thing has pretty much been, I have no interest in having a child unless I am with a partner who I want to have the child with, and they also want to have a child with me. For a multitude of reasons, that just hasn't happened yet. And I don't see that happening in the near term. And so to play in the space of, okay, let's try some other ways of not having a child, or putting it on the partner to figure out, or if something happens, maybe they'll have an abortion. Either way, I'm no longer really 100% in control of the choice. That was the realm of choice where I was basically leaving things up to chance. So often when we think we're making a choice, we're deciding to leave things up to chance. I decided, after getting really informed and deciding, you know, and this was something that I'd set up months in advance before I even knew this Roe v. Wade thing could possibly be overturned. It's just one of those, like, I'd rather not put a woman in that position that she has to choose, like, do I get an abortion? Do I keep the child? And then I don't want to be in the position of waiting on whether, how is she going to decide or not decide or what? That's not fun for me. That's not fun for the woman. So I decided, all right, it's time enough of this putting my head in the sand and pretending like I don't have an option in this, that I just have to kind of like put it on somebody else and that it's there's nothing I can do about it, and really take responsibility, be 100% responsible for seeing what all of my options are and then making a choice that's best for me. Because even when I decided, okay, this is something I'm going to look into, there was, well, shit, do I want to never be able to have a kid ever again, you know, from my own loins, by my own creation? What were the options for me, right? The options, as I found out, is one, there's just have the vasectomy, and then you basically won't be able to have kids. They test it. But one thing, they have to tell you that it's irreversible, yet it's actually, there's a very, very, very high probability of being able to reverse a vasectomy. So that's one option. Again, not cheap, yet to me, this is something where if I put myself in future Justin's position with partner that is like, we want to bring a child into this world, we will figure out a way to get the money to have the reversal procedure done. The other two options are sperm retrieval, where basically they go in and, because your sperm factories are still working, just they don't have a place to output to the outside world anymore. Just that has been taken away. So they can go in and retrieve some sperm, and then effectively they have to do like a in vitro fertilization type technique with an egg. So that's even more expensive, but that's also a possibility. And then the third is banking sperm, where you go and you have a deposit and you keep it. There's an upfront cost and then there's a maintenance cost. And that was something that originally I was like, that's probably going to be what I do, right? Yet when I talked to the doctor that I went to, and I, as I mentioned on the previous episode, I treated myself by finding probably one of the best doctors that does vasectomy and vasectomy reversal and procedures in this area in the world. He said in all his years of his patients that have done the banking, he didn't know of a single one that had ever actually used the bank sperm with a partner. The partner had always said, go get the reversal. We're going to try it the old-fashioned way. And it was that perspective of like, oh yeah, to me, the reversal is very expensive. The banking, although there's fees over the years, it seems like it would be cheaper. Yet I wasn't considering what's the perspective of the future person that I would be with, who at that point would be my present person, and we would be discussing my past decisions. And so a lot of this, when we think of choice, it really is about broadening perspective, which is something most of us are not real well equipped to handle. We're usually taught to have convergent thinking, which is where we go from a lot of options to very few to just picking one thing and going like, this is it. I'm really good at this. That really comes in handy with engineering, especially in preventing issues, is going like, this is the way to be safe as possible. Because let's be honest, making decisions from a large amount of options, it can be exhausting. Like I find this if I go to like a really fancy grocery store and there's just like too many options in the yogurt section. It's like, there's 18 brands and each brand has 15 choices. Which yogurt is the yogurt for me? I don't know. So sometimes that's why I really enjoy going to bargain markets where they have way fewer choices. Because it's like, oh, I have to choose between like five things. Makes it much easier. When those five things, those fewer options are sufficient, it's great. It's awesome. It's a great save of energy. Yet when we have a few options, or maybe we're stuck with just a must and we don't like it, that's time to go from convergent thinking to divergent thinking. It takes some effort. It's a challenge. And I'm going to encourage you, this is the tip of the episode, is whenever you have a challenge, is think of seven ways, write them down, seven different ways that you could solve it. They can be insane. In fact, that's part of the exercise, is to get as insane as possible. So like, let's take, and I'm going to get morbid here because I find it hilarious. So if you don't like, you know, sort of dark humor, then you're not going to enjoy this. But think of this. So the problem statement is you don't want to bring a child into this world for whatever reason. What are the ways? Let's think of seven different ways. There's not having sex, right? Number one. There is wearing condoms, too. There's pulling out. There's timing, rhythm, that's 4. There is a vasectomy, 5. There is abortion, 6. And then there is distracting the woman and pushing her down the stairs, 7. 7 different ones. Like, they're all options. And there's actually even more. There's probably even way more things, right? Like, I don't know. Let's just say there's more. So often we think that there's no other option, but that's never true. There's always more options. We might not like all of the options. Choice has consequence, and you got to be responsible for that. So you might decide not to because you don't want to pay the price of certain choices. Going back to how I talked about not spending time with family, you can always make that choice. Your family might get pissed off at you if you are dependent on your family for like financial resources, they might pull that away. But that's a choice, and there's going to be consequences, and you have to weigh those consequences. But there's always a choice. And often we don't want there to be that choice because it is mentally taxing. It's mentally challenging. We don't have that practice. And so this is really one of those things that's a muscle. And that's why you're here listening to me on this podcast, is because you want to strengthen that muscle. That's why when I offer guidance on meditations and choices and things, it's all about broadening perspective, opening up the options for true choice, which comes from the infinite possibilities in all this universe. So it's okay that you're not going to be wanting to come up with 7 choices for everything you have to do in your life, or even maybe more than 2. That's okay. One quote I really, really like is from this band Devo, that you might know them for their song Whip It. Whip It Good. They have this one song. It is called Freedom of Choice. They have this really great section of it where they go, freedom of choice is what you got. Freedom from choice is what you've got. Or no, it's freedom. Oh, fuck. Ah, I knew I should have read this, but it's freedom of choice is what you got. Freedom from choice is what you want. Basically, you don't want to have choice. Why? It takes fucking effort. But ultimately, you always have freedom of choice, even if the law is going against it, because there is the option of breaking the law. There's the option of maybe going to some place where the law isn't the same. I'm not saying it's easy. A lot of times, these are very challenging things to even conceive of and then take action on. And I do believe that it's incredibly important that we should be working in a world where we are working to allow people to have more and more choice and to exercise the creation of more options and taking various different choices that work better for them in the given moment, and then being okay to make a different decision from a different set of choices once they've learned from that experience, right? So that's the world that I want. Yet I do think it's important in a world where sometimes it might seem that we're having less and less choice, that things might seem like they're going the way, that to believe that is in fact a choice. That there are lots of ways that you could look at all the great things that people are doing, all of the goodness that can be coming out of even more the most horrible thing that could be happening in the world. I find like the Ukraine situation with the war with Russia, it's an awful, horrible tragedy, yet we do see outpouring of support, you know, for the Ukrainian people that comes, from various countries, from individuals, from different organizations. And so we see that there might seem like, oh, something horrible is happening. What can we do? When we actually do sit and think, what can we do? And we actually make ourselves come up with options. And then maybe sometimes we take that challenging step of doing one of those options. It's not the easiest thing to do. We get the benefit out of it. And so I decided, all right, what are the options for me to be part of the solution of me being a conscious participant in whether or not to bring a child into this world and going in and doing the vasectomy? It took some effort. It was not easy. Like, I had to go get some information. I had to book appointments with the doctor. I had to pay money. So it took effort. So I'm not saying any of this is easy. I'm just telling you it's a possibility. When there's possibility, then there is the chance of a different result, regardless of what we might believe. And coming to beliefs, often our selection of options in the world of choice comes from our beliefs, which often didn't come from us. And this didn't hit me until after I had the procedure done. And my mom called me at 8 a.m. on Mother's Day, Sunday morning, because I had flowers sent to her Friday. I swear I was going to plan on calling her on Sunday on Mother's Day anyway, but she beat me to the punch. She woke me up because I was recovering. I had had the vasectomy on Friday and I, you know, I'd been up icing my sack from the procedures, doctor's recommendations. She woke me up and I came in, but she's like, oh, you know, what's, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing okay. I'm recovering from a vasectomy. And she's like, oh, okay, sounds good. And, you know, have a happy Mother's Day. Love you. Hang up. I go back to sleep. And then about 20 minutes later, my phone starts ringing. I let it go to voicemail. Then it rings again. Hangs up. Then it rings again. There's probably four or five times it rang. And then I finally pick up and it's my mom. And she was, I could tell she was upset. Why did you do this? Why did you get a vasectomy? What's going on? Where did this come from? I was like, I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to have an oopsie baby. I don't want to have a child by chance. And that part of me is thinking like, I don't have to explain anything to her. I'm a 41-year-old grown-ass man. I don't need to explain to my mom what I'm going to do with my body, my choice, right? But I was tired. And so I answered and felt like I needed to explain myself. And she was still like, what do you mean? Like, so you never want to have? And I told her, well, it's reversible. And she's like, okay. And she was placated and I was able to get off the phone and go back to sleep. And it hit me. She has some belief that me being able to have a child is very important. Why that is, I don't know, but it is. I'm sure that belief got into my head and that limited my options in whether to have a vasectomy up until I've went through the effort. I pushed through to go like, hey, there's still a high probable chance that I'd still be able to have a genetic child. And if not, is that the end of the world? No, it's not. There's other ways to, you know, care for children in this world besides me having to create one. And so that really brought home to me that what options I think I have until I really look at it and I really do the work to try to expand and poke holes at what are the field of choices that often what I currently believe is possible wasn't even created by me. It was artificially limited by my parents' beliefs. Probably by friends' beliefs, by whatever I probably learned at school, whatever I saw on television. If you think something's not possible, you're right until you decide it is possible. And then you've then proven yourself wrong. So you got to be okay with being wrong, to changing your mind, having a new opinion. This is actually the scientific method at work, is that you go, hey, this is the best I know so far, but I'm open to something new. And we've sort of fucked over science in that we expect it to just be the truth of all things at all time. And that's never what it was supposed to be, yet it's kind of been turned into a religion as well, which is maybe another topic that I'm not going to get into. So to sum up, I've probably said a lot of stuff that could piss a lot of people off, and that's okay. Coming up at the end is how you can get in contact with me and complain. But if you've really listened to this whole episode, you'll realize that this really is about a lot of love and a lot about growing and seeing what's possible and living your best life so that you can allow other people to live their best life by allowing us to all have more choices, more options. And that's really part of the creative process. Life really is about creation, not just the creation of life, but life creating. And if we're creating choices, we're really helping life to be more so than it is. Because if there really is no option, no choice, then just because something's biologically alive, is that truly life? Is that truly love? If it's destined to go from A to Z in a prescribed manner, what kind of life is that? Whereas if we allow for opportunity, options, divergent thinking, where we're coming with something different than we didn't even think was possible, that is loving. That is living. That is life. That is creation on multiple fronts, not just a biological creation, which we all know is easy. That's why this, you know, life is sacred, says who? People that are alive. There's a vested interest. Yeah, maybe there's some people that aren't biologically alive that maybe have other opinions. Go see George Carlin on the subject. He's fantastic, I feel. So that's it. Thank you so much and good day. If you want to contact the show, email me at podcast@justinwenck.com. That's Justin, W-E-N-C-K. And find me on social media, Justin Wenck, PhD, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you want ways so that you can relax, recharge, and reconnect, find the Tuesday 20 every Tuesday at 12:05 p.m. Pacific. It's only 20 minutes, and it's going to get you relaxed, recharged, and reconnected. It's on YouTube, and it's on Facebook. So looking forward to seeing you there.